Hi there, it's News Talk's Andrea Gilligan here.
We talk a lot about health, but your gut is where it all begins. A balanced gut can improve everything from your digestion and energy to your immune system and even your mood. That's why Simproof, Ireland's number one for gut health, is such a game changer. And right now, for Black Friday, you can get 25% off their live and active bacteria supplement. Each daily shot is packed with billions of friendly bacteria that actually reach your gut alive and start working to restore balance where it matters most. No capsules, no powders, just a refreshing, water-based drink in four great flavours. Take it first thing each morning, 10 minutes before food or drink, and start feeling the difference. A healthy gut supports your whole body, so don't miss 25% off Simproof's 12 and 4-week programmes now at simproof.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Now, many parents wonder what to do with their child when they come home after school and they have this emotional outburst. Is it something at the school that's affecting them or something at home? Is it neither? Well, to chat about this, I'm now joined in studio by senior child and educational psychologist, Dr. Elaine McCarthy. You're very welcome to the show, Elaine. How common is this?
This is extremely common, Ciara. I suppose children and adults aren't so dissimilar, really, in that we all have multiple versions of ourselves that we show in, say, a professional capacity, in a school capacity, when we're home in our safe space. So oftentimes children will come home after having had maybe a challenging day at school, or maybe even not such a challenging day at school. And when they get to their safe space, they'll experience, you know, a big outburst of emotion. As adults, we've developed some skills in emotional regulation, but as children, I suppose they're still developing and growing these skills, and they often develop these skills in conjunction with another person, typically their parent. I like to think about it as a fizzy bottle of pop that's been shaken up all day, and then when they get home, the cork opens and there's a bit of an explosion. But if you think about the complexity of what children go through from the minute they get up in the morning to the minute they come home after school, there's quite a lot. There's early mornings, they're at school learning new things, they have to navigate social relationships, they may have to be physically still for long periods of time, there's noisy classrooms, there's now the smell of these hot school lunches, itchy uniforms, schoolyards where there may be bans on running, for example. And so it's not really that surprising that when children come home after maybe a commute or after further after school activities, they're a little bit exhausted, and it all comes out in their safe space.
And when you think about it, because I suppose of the ECHI, which I think generally has been welcomed by so many parents and educators and indeed by young children, my own kids absolutely love those years at school, that sort of environment starts quite young. You know, they're entering that at maybe 3 years of age, where they have sort of a very set day that includes, you know, learning and that type of environment that's perhaps a bit more restrictive. It's not just free play anymore.
Absolutely. And while structure is really important for children and it suits a lot of children, sometimes they lack that freedom to just play and experiment and be free. I suppose for parents, it's important to think about it as not being personal. It's not something that you're necessarily doing or that school are doing. It's not pathological. It's very, very common. And it's really a stress response that children are having. It's a physical stress response. And then when thinking about how to manage that or to support their young person with that, I think it's important, first of all, to think about, well, maybe what's going on in their body. Some children don't like to go to the toilet at school. And so they come home and maybe the first thing they need to do is go to the loo, have something to eat, take a deep breath. And all of these physiological demands, once those are met, the body can start to calm down and reduce some of the stress just very naturally.
Does it affect some children more than others, Elaine?
Certainly. I guess it's something that would very much affect our neurodivergent children. But it's not restricted to neurodivergent children. And it's also not necessarily an indicator of neurodivergence. It's something that's common across childhood. As a parent, I suppose I would suggest that you would look at maybe patterns. And you would try to see, okay, this always happens on this particular day or when it's been raining and they haven't been able to get out to yard to play. These are patterns and times that I see my young person becoming more dysregulated. Because once you see a pattern, you can start to think about how to intersect with that pattern.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, because I think that's what lots of parents would want to know. Is there anything I can do to stop it getting to the point where there's that blowout, that complete meltdown, and then your poor little child is all upset and the whole family's discombobulated for 15-20 minutes.
Totally. I think it's a really nice idea to, if you're the person collecting your child from school, that you would welcome them to the car, you say hello, but then maybe not ask them lots of questions. Having little supports in the car like fidgets or stress balls, snacks, maybe just having some relaxing music that they like playing. All of those can be strategies that just help the young person to come down bit by bit. I think we all have that temptation to say, how did school go and what did you do and what did you learn and who did you play with? But those can feel like additional demands.
I suppose if you came in from your day's work,
this is it.
And somebody hits you with 20 questions about your day, I'd probably just say, leave me alone but for a little while.
Also care if your day has not gone that well, and you've maybe been in trouble. And then what happened? And what did teacher say? And what did you do? And now it's another person that you have to be accountable to. So I think it's very important that we don't hold children to a higher standard than we hold ourselves. When we get home, we put on maybe our comfy clothes, or we go and we walk the dog, or we sing along to the radio in the car until we get home, just to leave work behind us. But children don't seem to have that option really often. I think that it's really important. I mentioned that refueling the body before refueling the brain. And I think giving a young person an opportunity for movement and fresh air, if at all possible, I think that works wonders to regulate the emotions after a hard day at school.
I do notice that myself. If the weather is half good and I collect them ideally a little bit earlier than normal, which they really, really do seem to appreciate, and take them to the park, it just changes the whole evening, the whole atmosphere. For everybody, actually.
Absolutely. Everybody loves jumping in puddles, I think.
I know, we shouldn't just wait for the good days. Yeah. They love the wet ones too.
Any opportunity to get outside, have a bit of movement. And I guess there's a lot of pent-up energy for kids when they leave a restrictive environment. So channeling that pent-up energy towards something that's positive and fun, instead of something, leaving it become something that might be destructive when it comes into the home. I think maybe pushing out homework a little bit, that might be controversial, but also setting a time limit on homework, I think that's really important.
So not doing it just as soon as they get in the door to get it done.
I think it varies. I think for some families that really works. I think for other families, their young person, again, if they've tracked the pattern that it's each day at this time, for other young people, they just need some downtime. They might want to flop in the beanbag and rub the dog, and that's fine. I think it's really about trying to get to know your young person's signs, what they're showing you, because everything gets derailed, as you said, anyway, when there is a huge outburst and everybody's upset. So
So the one thing that is asked for in my house, definitely, when they come in after a long day, and look, they're gone from maybe 8:30 or 9:30 to 4 or 5 o'clock, depending on, what the work schedules are like, can we just flop in front of the cartoons? Mm-hmm. And my daughter actually uses that word. Please just allow me to flop. Is that okay?
I think it's all about balance. I think if you've done your splashing in puddles, you've had a bit of a cuddle, you've gotten your snack. I mean, who doesn't like flopping in front of a cartoon? I think that's absolutely fine. I think if this is something that comes up time and again as an issue for you and your family, it's probably worth communicating with school to make sure that there isn't anything underlying going on. And also, I think schools have become really excellent at incorporating movement into their day, which I think allows a lot of our children to get silly and decompress. They do, dancing in between lessons and yoga, and school is maybe
it's way more fun.
Way more fun than it was on my
Friday.
Day.
It's fantastic. How do you know the difference, I suppose, Elaine, from a child that just finds maybe the constraints of the school day is just a bit much, and maybe they are neurodivergent and maybe they are masking all day, and when they get home they just want to blow, to another child who's actually just deeply unhappy in that environment?
Mm-hmm. I think that, again, it comes down to seeing your child in different contexts. I think for maybe a neurodivergent child, that masking may be happening in other zones as well. Whereas if it's an issue that's particular to school, then I think you can think more along the lines of, is there a particular problem here in the classroom? Is there an issue with friendships? Is there a relationship issue with teacher? Is my young person struggling with some aspect of learning? Whereas our neurodivergent children may struggle quite heavily with that restraint at school, but they may also find it very difficult at family gatherings or going to, maybe a busy shopping centre. There would be different environments that would be also very challenging. I also feel that it doesn't necessarily matter that much to differentiate between that, because I think really it's seeing your young person where they're at and what do they need, and just helping to bring them down. And for us as the parents or as the adults in the relationship, I think our own stressors come in because we're coming home from work. We have to, feed everybody, put a dinner on the table, and we've got this narrow window in which to make these beautiful family memories. And that's an awful lot of pressure too, and a meltdown often doesn't figure in that. So sometimes for us letting go of a little bit of that control and just maybe us flopping with them, having our presence rather than our words, I think that those pieces can all be really important and make a huge difference to a young person.
All right, I'm going to leave it there, but there was some really, really helpful advice in that for, I think, any of us out there who struggle with those post-school meltdowns at time. Dr. Elaine McCarthy, thanks so much for coming into us in the Hard Shoulder studio.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hi there, it's Mario Rosenstock. You know your man off Giff Grub on the Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show, but I'm also your man who presents that great podcast called, yep, you've guessed it, the Mario Rosenstock Podcast. You never know what or who you're going to get, but you always get me, a brand new and exclusive comedy sketch, and a conversation with a twist. Catch the Mario Rosenstock Podcast every week on the Go Loud app and all of the usual places.
With On Ice, Ireland's premium ice skating experience, where winter memories are made. Visit onice.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.